more. By the way, sometimes me and Joyce gets the wrong words. I think last Sunday we had the witness of the Spirit instead of the witness of the Spirit. But y'all bear with us. I'm threatening to fire her and hire her back for lower wages any time now. But we love to make a mistake. But anyway, tonight, the mark of the master are either branded for Jesus Christ. When I started reading that scripture, I kept on knocking down verses. So I got it down to one verse, and then only part of that verse. That's all that I needed. And that is in Galatians chapter 6, verse 17, O Paul. And have you ever heard if you was arrested for being a Christian, would they be enough evidence to convict you? You ever heard that? Well, how about it? How do you feel about that tonight? Now, we don't think too much about that in the country that we live in the United States. But I'm afraid it might be coming to that. But I'll tell you, there's some nations, Muslim nations, and other nations around the world. If they can convict you of being a Christian, you're dead. They'll kill you in thinking they're doing the Lord a favor. But I'm telling you, as you think about it. But how about in this good old USA? Do we have enough evidence to this world that I'm a Christian? Are you a Christian? Well, Paul, what they was after him in Galatians, also in the Corinthian church, you know, they was accusing him of not being an apostle and really not being the Christian apostle. And the Judaizers was bringing this charge against old Paul. And you know what the Judaizers were? They were the Jews that believed that you hanging on to the law. That even go as far as saying Jesus Christ is all right, plus you need to keep the laws. And at their time, it says, you know, that you need to keep the ceremonial laws and you need to be circumcised to be into the religious faith. That Jesus Christ is all right as far as he goes. In the down days, it'd be, you know, that you'd be, Jesus Christ is all right, you're saved, but you also need to be baptized like some denomination believes. If you're not baptized with water, you can't go to heaven. But that's what they're accusing old Paul. Paul, that you're really not a Christian. You're really not a true apostle. You're really not God called. And these Jewish peoples, that's what it said, Judaizers. And they were persecuting old Paul. And old Paul comes up in this verse of scripture and he gives his answer. From henceforth, he's talking to the Judaizers and he's also talking to this Galatian church, and they was giving him a lot of trouble. Let no man trouble me. For I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Let us pray. Father, we do want to thank you, Lord, for this day. And Father, with the sum of all the blessings up today, we can just say praise the name of Jesus this hour. Father, for the goodness and the mercy, Lord, that you showed upon us this day. And Lord, for so many things, each and every one of us, and mostly including me this day, have just took it for granted, even the life, the breath that we breathe, the heartbeat that beats in our bodies. And Father, just a drink of cool water, oh Father, and the food that you give us. We take so many things for granted each day. Father, we know they belong to you. We absolutely have nothing of our own self. And especially, Father, we know that we have been saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. We're not of our own. But we just want to say thank you. And Father, I believe I'm speaking for everyone here this hour. They're here tonight to praise you, to honor you, and to worship you here, God. So we just want to start out by saying, praise the name of Jesus for all the blessings of this hour and down, Lord, to this very minute. We want to thank you, Lord, for the names of those concerned in the prayer box or on our prayer list of being called out, for our family, our loved ones, and our friends. And all this, we thank you and ask you in the name of Jesus Christ to bless them in a very special way. Amen. Paul says, now here is my answer. I bear in my body the mark of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul was a man that had scars on his body. His body was very disfigured. He had been wounded several times, bruised and broken and bloody, and had been stoned. for the cause of Jesus Christ. Paul says, my scars are my defense. You say now that I'm not a God-called man. You say that I'm not an apostle. You say that I'm not teaching or preaching the truth of the Word of God, what Christ has laid on my heart. Here is my defense. Look, he says, at my body. And he begins to name what Paul went through. And I began to read this before I got through. I kind of tell you, I really wasn't worthy of preaching this message tonight. The making of these marks and the meaning of those marks and the message of those marks, when I got to thinking how easy it is for me today. And someone asked me, you know, about how you get along pretty good. And I said, well, I can't complain. And I said, you know, yeah, I do. I complain all the time. Do you? Really, now I do. I do complain. I complain about a lot of things. You know, and I ought to be ashamed of myself. You know, we have it so easy. And especially being a Christian, in the Christian faith that you and I, you know, we have it so easy of being a Christian. Wouldn't you think the whole church would just be full of people that names the name of Jesus Christ because we got it so easy? I mean, I think about the church that God has given us here. I mean, just go flip the button if you're a little bit cool and you get heat, a little bit hot, you know, your air conditioned. You got padded pews, you know, that we're sitting on. A good light so that you can see. Plenty of room, haven't we? You know, and just think about the blessings that God has blessed us with. We really got it rough, ain't we? And you know what people are complaining about church? We really will, won't we? I mean, there's always something wrong. Always. Something's wrong. Or we'll sing too loud or something or other, or we've always got something wrong, ain't we? I be preaching too long and he don't preach the right thing and all kind of things. You hear what she said, he said, they said. We complain about all. I was ashamed of myself when I think about old Paul. So here's my scar and here's my defense. And I want to tell you the making of these scars. And you know what? I don't have any scars to show you tonight. I don't have no scars for Jesus Christ on the outside of my body. I got some on the inside for spiritual and emotional problems that I know that I've been wounded many times. But I just don't have them. But the making of those marks, how did Paul get these scars? You know, in Romans 8 and 35 and all it says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or pearls or the sword? For I am persuaded neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor power nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And all what Paul went through, he said, everything I went through, and he began to list some things, that won't none separate us from the love of God. All these things that have happened to me, he says, or to him, could not separate him from the love of Christ. People was troubling old Paul, and then also in Corinthian church, they're doing the same thing. We went down and he established these churches on his missionary journey. He is coming back around, and they was troubling him also in Corinth church, just like there was in the Galatian church. These Judaizers followed him around. Always somebody following you around. If you want to live for Jesus Christ, somebody's going to really follow you around and give you trouble. In 2 Corinthians, he lists some things and listened to the trouble that Paul had been in. He says, here's what I said now in 2 Corinthians 11:23 and on it says, are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more in labor, more in abundantly, in stripes above measure, in prison more frequently, in death often. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Y'all remember what that was? 40 stripes, that's 39 stripes. They claim if he hit you one more time, you could die from it. He was beat that many times. Thrice was I beaten with a rod. Once was I stoned. Thrice was I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I've been in the deep. In journey often, in perils of water, in perils of robbery, in perils by my own countrymen, in perils by the heathens, the Gentiles, in perils in the city, perils in the wilderness, perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness, in painfulness, in watching often, in hunger and thirst, in fasting often, in cold and naked. Paul says that all this I went through, I've got scars here to show you. And yet you troubling me. I bear in my body, again, he said, the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then I thought about old Paul, and I kind of tried to visualize what this man looked like. What he went through in his scars. From the day he was on the road to Damascus until he was called out of this world, what he went through for Jesus Christ. You know, and it's really a humble you down. And it made me so ashamed, like I said, that even that I, you know, claim to be a Christian, but I have no scars. When I think how that I suffer for Jesus. You think how much you really suffer for Jesus? You know, a lot of people, if they can come on Sunday morning, they have done God a big favor. You know, if we come Wednesday night, Sunday morning, Sunday night, we still think we've done God a big favor, don't we? The suffering that Paul's done and the suffering that I've done, I think about it. As I said, I can always find something to complain about. I got it rough. I got it rough. I got it rough as a pastor. Boy, I got it rough. I want to give it to somebody else. I want to give it to Jerry Griffin. You want it, Jerry? Anybody want this job? I don't really have it rough when you think about old Paul. How about you, Sunday school teachers and deacons? Y'all have to study y'all Sunday school lesson. How about y'all songers? How about we have to do something for the Lord? Y'all think about that? I'm so ashamed. And then we complain. Sometimes we complain. Well, that's too cold to go. It's too rainy. We complain. Complain about. Then I look at old Paul. I'm so ashamed when I really got a spiritual view of old Paul. And he just like he is talking to me instead of talking to the Galatian church and talking to the Corinthian church. Seemed like the Word of God, that's what the Word of God do. It speaks directly to you. You know it? And you get a good picture of yourself. And I got to think about, you know, and I can really find a lot of things I can complain about. Sometimes I want to quit. I have it so rough. You ever thought about that? I ain't coming back to church. A lot of people does that, you know. We ain't got about 400 like that right now. I want to join them once in a while. And I tell them the truth. I have it so bad. I mean, I really suffer for the Lord. I want you to look at Paul. 2 Timothy 3 and 12 says, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. And we wonder sometimes why things happen to people, of God's good, loving people. And sometimes I wonder why things don't happen to God's people. We got it so good. Because it says, again, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. We have it so easy. You know, we're so well fed, but we are grumbling and complaining as we look around. Richie Allen, that missionary, you know, has been here, preached a revival and preached several times. He's coming home, I think, before long. Hardly from his mission trip. And I think about Richie Allen and many, many other, him and his wife. You know, I don't want to leave my kids and family to go to a foreign country. I don't want to leave my grandkids. I don't want to give up my easy living and go over there in a jungle where they don't have no air conditioning. I like air conditioning. Y'all know that? I like to go around and just flip that button. Y'all kind of hard, just flip that button. I like that. I like to sleep in the house where it's warm. No mosquitoes. And I don't leave my family here in this country and fly somewhere else. And I don't want to be separated from my wife. And I never eat a monkey, but I don't want to eat one. I'll eat a squirrel. That's pretty close, ain't it? That's the reason I like to go down to Mexico. I don't really like to, but I get to meet a lot of missionaries that give everything up they have in this life to serve Jesus Christ. Make you so ashamed. Paul says, I'm literally disfigured, these scars that I have, the making these scars because I serve Jesus Christ. But see, the meaning of these scars, he said, you know, again, let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ. These scars, these marks. The word that you hear for marks usually is a word for scars or disfigured. It's a normal word to you, but Paul also attached another word with this. As I looked this up into the Greek language, not only was it a literal mark, but as we have a scar, like you go to the hospital and they cut on you, you know, and you got a scar for the rest of your life, that was the one word used. But also it was a word that was used as a brand. I've been branded for the Lord. I started with the title of this message, that branded for the master. Paul said, I've been branded. You know, like your brand cow, you see them on television. I like Westerns. I like seeing when they go branding on cow. Shh, you know, smoke fly, you know, they got a branded one. They used to do that here in this country, around here, out west. Well, you know, that was just an example there of ownership. It was a mark there of ownership three different ways. One is as a slave. Back in Paul's days and Jesus' time days, you know, if you're a slave, you could be branded by your master, because a slave was no more than your hogs or your cows or your animal. They're just property. And, you know, you brand them and say, this belongs to me. Brand a person, you know, because as your slave, they're just a piece of property as a slave. And you own them just like you do own a cow or a hog or anything that you brand. And Paul says, you know, I'm a slave and a bond slave of Jesus Christ. Well, I don't have time to get into that bond slave, but he was a slave for Jesus Christ. He'd been branded for Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 and 20 says, what? Know you not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your bodies and in your spirit, which are God. You've been bought with a price. You saved tonight. You do not have anything. You are a slave to Jesus Christ. Everybody's going to be somebody's slave. You're either a slave to the devil or you're a slave to Jesus Christ, but you're going to be a slave. Slave to sin if you're not saved. Bond slave to Jesus Christ or for Jesus Christ. It was a mark of ownership as a slave, but it was also a mark of allegiance as a soldier. You know, Alexander the Great, I was reading some history on him, when the soldiers would tattoo the name A on their body because they loved Alexander the Great, their great leader. And they'd brand on the hand or on the body their allegiance to their leader. And I'm in the army and I know that how to handle hardships as his soldier, and they'd brand A on them. I heard two ladies talking about their family tree. And one of them says, we traced our family tree all the way back to Alexander the Great. How far do you trace yours? She said, oh, we lost record of ours in the flood. Y'all will get it in a minute. All the way back to Alexander the Great. Branded for him. 1 Timothy 4 and 7. Paul says again, talking to Timothy, I fought a good fight. And I really do believe he did. I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I have kept the faith. The mark of shame also is what this word is used in the Bible. As a criminal back in the Bible times, when they release somebody out of prison, they would brand him, the wearing a mark of shame, of warning to other people around him. You remember when Cain slew Abel? They don't know one of you remember that, do you? Because y'all wasn't there. But y'all read about it. You remember you read about it? And you know it said that God put a mark on him. It was a mark of shame. It was a mark of shame. I wonder about our marks. Do we have any? I'm ashamed that I don't have any marks for Jesus Christ. You know, it's a shame. But you see, we find out that it's a very special meaning. And then the message of these marks, oh, Paul says. These marks. There's a mark to be encouraged by. And he's talking to this church. It marked to encourage us to be faithful. Never be ashamed for the suffering that you have suffered for Christ. And people take a stand. We don't suffer for Christ. But I tell you, we need to take a stand for Christ. You know what's going on in our country? You know one of the reasons that it's going on in our country and things like it is in our country and as bad as it is, it's going to get worse. Because Christian people won't stand for Jesus Christ. You know, and I'm including myself. There's so many things that we could do and take a stand for Jesus Christ. And these marks in Paul's body says, you know, they encourage us to be faithful. Not even a suffering, because none of us have suffered for Christ that I know of very much. But encourage us to be faithful. And that's a great meaning. Don't be ashamed to encourage us. Galatians 6 and 14. But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. Paul says, I don't glory anything except what Christ has done for me and the glory in the cross. Now, we all glory in something. You know that. We all glory in something. Some of us can glory. Look at my child. You know, we glory in our kids. We glory in our grandkids. We glory maybe about our great job that we have, or our great business we have, or our talents, or our ability, or our money, our possessions, our car. I even glory in my garden. I like my garden. But you see, Paul says, I don't glory in anything except Jesus Christ and his cross. Paul had a lot to glory about, too. He could have. So much more than what I have. Paul could have gloried in his education. He was a very educated man in those days. He was a very religious man. Gamaliel was a great educated man, and Paul, you took his lessons from him. He was a scholar. All of his background, he was a Hebrew of the Hebrews. Paul was a preacher, one of the greatest preachers outside of Jesus Christ. He could glory in that. Paul was a missionary man. I mean, he went everywhere. He was a church planter. He wrote over one half of the New Testament. Paul had a lot to glory in if he wanted to glory in something that he done, but he said, you know what? God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. I won't glory in anything except the cross of Calvary. How about you tonight? What do you really glory in? We glory what we've done for Jesus and glory what he's done for us. The mark of encouragement, Paul says, for us to be faithful. But these marks encourage us to be fearless. You know, John 15, Gospel of John and 18 and on, it says, if the world hates you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. If ye were of the world would have loved his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I have said unto you. The servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my sayings, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. As I said, you know, if the Muslims and other religious people too, they will kill you thinking they're doing Christ a favor, or thinking they're doing God a favor. They don't believe in Jesus Christ. And how the blood that Jesus Christ has shed for me. Think about the blood that old Paul shed. You know, I hadn't ever shed a drop of blood for Jesus Christ that I know of. I don't think I have. Has any of you shed just one drop of blood for Jesus? Paul had been stoned. He had been beaten many times. Shed blood for Jesus. I ain't ever even shed one drop of blood for Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ shed his blood for me. But I never shed one drop of blood for Jesus. Paul did. Look at your life. The scars reminded Paul to be faithful. Reminded Paul also to be fearless. Jesus describes us as salt and light in this world. You know, twice born people living in a once born world that we're living in. That's the reason we have such a time with this world, because they're going in opposite direction. A lady was watching television and she seen on the news where there was a car going the wrong way on Interstate Road. And she knew her husband was close to that area, and she thought she'd call him on the telephone and tell him to be careful because this car is going the wrong way on Interstate Road. And she called him. She said, "Honey, be careful. There's a car going the wrong way on this interstate." He said, "One car, 800's going the wrong way." You know, that's what this world thinks of us. You know what? We're going in the wrong direction. We're going down the wrong way. That's what this world thinks of you and I. Because we twice born people in a once born world. And they can't see or understand, but they think we're a bunch of kooks. We're crazy. That's what they think of us. That's what's wrong with this country. That's what old Dan Rather says. You know what's wrong with this country? Old Dan Rather says the Christians, what's wrong with this country. Little he knows that we know more about than he does. Salt and light. Salt irritates, and that's exactly why Paul had problems. He was a salty Christian. And I tell you, you stand up for Jesus Christ, and not only that, you just stand up in a conservative church. You stand on the Word of God, and I'm going to tell you what, you'll even find Christians don't even like what you have to say and do and how you stand. We're salt because salt irritates. It irritates people of this world. It irritates when you talk about homosexuality. It irritates when you say, you know, they're sinners. And oh, they say, no, they're born that way. They can't help it. Salt says, it irritates them. Salt says, you know what, they was not born that way. That's a choice. And that irritates people. But it's the Word of God. Light reveals. Your salt and light, it reveals the darkness that the world that we're living in. And people, you know what? They're going against the salt and they're going against the light because this world is a diseased world we're living in. And salt irritates that wound of humanity, of you and I. But not only that, it's the darkness. They don't like the light and they want to put it out. But all the darkness in the world can't put out one little old match. But they don't like it because, you see, it reveals the darkness. And the Word of God is light. And it reveals the darkness in my heart and your heart. And sometimes, you know what, I don't even like it. But it's the truth of the Word of God. And the darkness of our heart, that's what light does. And when we live by the Word of God, and he said, encourage us to be fearless. Because, you see, we're living in a world is diseased and darkened. Matthew 16:25. For whosoever shall save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. John 12:24 says, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a grain of wheat fall unto the ground and die, it abides alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. You know what it says? Are you willing to be wounded for Jesus Christ? Are you wounded today? But are you willing to be wounded? As I said, we have it so easy. I'm so ashamed tonight. I'm so ashamed that I complain when I look at Paul's life and how easy that I have it in my Christian life. What am I doing for Jesus Christ? How much suffering am I doing? How much doing without am I doing? When I look not only at him, but I look at others with scars. You know, we try to get people to come, but Lord, they got it so easy in life. You remember when old Thomas, all the rest of the disciples had done, met Jesus Christ, had done resurrected, but Paul was not with him at that time. Now, old Thomas says, I will not believe that Jesus Christ rose from the grave till I stick my fingers in those nail prints and put my hand in his side. And you know that Thomas was with him in that room and Jesus appeared. All right, Thomas, here it is. Here's my hand. Stick your finger in them nail prints. Here's my side. You know, Thomas, put your hand there. You know what Thomas said? My Lord and my God. You know what convinced him? Now, Thomas already knew that Jesus had died. He had no problem with that. He had no problem. He was convinced that Jesus died, but he had not met the resurrected Lord. And you know, did Thomas have to stick his finger in those scars? No, but you know what convinced him of seeing those scars in Jesus Christ? The scars convinced him that Jesus Christ was who he said he was, a living Son of God, the living God. It was the scars. And I just wonder if people's trying to see some scars in our life. If they're looking for some scars in our lives, might convince them that we are really Christians. That means Christ-like Jesus Christ. They're looking. As I said, we have it so easy. Let me write down my complaints next week, because I'll probably go complain again, but I got it so easy. People's got it so easy for Jesus Christ. But the Bible says that we will suffer persecution. The Bible says we will have a time in the Christian faith when we're going to go through tribulation. Not the great tribulation, but there's going to come a time. And I believe we're going to witness in this country, it's already around the world, the people's dying for the cause of Christ, they're being martyred, and I believe it's going to be here in this country before long also. It's already have been. You remember Columbine and little Cassie Manal, that man shot her, and there was another, I can't remember her name. If you believe in Jesus Christ, stand up, and she stood up and said, I believe in Jesus Christ, and he'd blow her face off. What would you do? What would you do tonight if you was faced with that situation? We have a song of invitation. Jeremy, y'all put something on. What would you do? People's facing problems around the world today for Jesus Christ, and my little self. I have it so easy. How about you? Let's bow at this time.